Why do I whistle? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Now, why do I whistle? We have with us one of the amazing whistlers of our time. And quickly drink that and swallow your whistle, because you're going to whistle for us. Okay, now put your two fingers in your mouth and give us a whistle that's going to resound through the centuries. Once again. Once again, real loud. Ellen was with her husband, and they were outside and waiting for some girls to come out of the dormitory from something. And so the girls were a little slow. And so Ellen just gave a big whistle, and everybody on the street and everybody in the building turned to look, and you know, and came out finally. And she can really whistle. Now, why does Ellen whistle? Ellen whistles because it's a matter of getting attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, why do dogs like to have us whistle? Because it gets their attention. I have called to Rex sometimes when he's down the road, he's got his nose in a bush for something, and I'll say, Rex, and I'll say, you know, I won't say it now very loud because I'll get him out here and get him going, but I'll say, you know, very loudly, Rex, and I'll call him, and I'll call him very strongly. And then when I whistle, even with my little whistle, you would say that's a little whistle, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He hears it and lifts up his head. Yeah. Hi, Rex. You heard that? He lifted up his head and looks at me, and he comes and he says, yes, Dad, what do you want? Rex, hey, come on over here. There you go. There's a cookie for Rex, yeah. And, of course, since Button is here, or Love is here, he deserves a cookie, too. There you go. And where is your mutt? In there. Well, shall I give it to Rex to take to him? It might not get there, huh? Okay, now, why I whistle. When I was a youngster, I loved to whistle, and I had a good whistle. Not a professional whistle like many of my friends had, but I had a good whistle. And my whistle allowed me to sing and say all sorts of beautiful things and have a happy time. And it was quite nice to do that. It was very exciting to do that. And I would walk around town, and, you know, 12 years old, whistling my head off, just having a great old time. And I knew all the songs of the day, had the little sheet music things that you get from the drugstore with all the words on it. And I would be whistling those songs and sometimes singing the words. And then when I became 14, I went to work for my dad. And he had these big, burly concrete guys there, you know, and construction guys. And the big, burly concrete construction guys, they would hear me whistling and hear me so happy. And they would, you know, just think, gee, isn't that nice to have that happy kid around here? And then one of them, who had trouble whistling, he never could whistle very well, but he didn't like it that I could whistle and he couldn't. So then he made the statement to me, which messed me up totally. Not because it was good or bad or indifferent, but he just messed me up. He says, you know, kid, the only people who whistle in this world are homosexuals. And I thought, oh my God, I didn't know what a homosexual was. I didn't know but apparently it must have been something, you know, that wasn't the best. And so from that day forward, I couldn't whistle anymore. I could not whistle, no matter how I wanted to whistle. I used to whistle in private, you know, because I remembered how I enjoyed whistling so much. And but this one guy made an impact on me, and finally I went to the dictionary, looked it up in the dictionary, and I thought, hey, that's whatever it is, you know, big deal. It's not an evil person. It's not a Satan, you know, or a devil or anything like that. It's not bad. And my whistle came back after a while, but never like it was with that free-spirited whistle that I had when I was 14 and under. Why I whistle? I whistle because my heart is singing. Mm-hmm. I whistle because my soul is crying out and saying, I gotta let go, and I gotta let the melody shout to the skies and whistle to the heavens. And when I'm walking around the path here sometimes, I'm whistling away and I'm singing away, and I'm sure that if anybody hears me, whether it's the squirrels or the rabbits or the international travelers who are passing through or whomever, that they must think I'm crazy. Here is this naked man whistling at the top of his lungs and singing away, just having a great old time and just waving his arms out and walking down the path with two weights, one in each hand, lifting the weights up and down and stretching them out for a whole hour of walking the path. My God, that man must have muscles just like you'd never believe, you know. And that's true, you'd never believe. But the thing is, it works so great and it is so fun. Be yourself and have fun. Why I whistle? I whistle to be myself and have fun. Why does anyone whistle? To be themselves and have fun. Now, if you are intimidated, as I was when I was 14, and as I was when I didn't know the facts of life, or the facts of the dictionary, until I looked it up, and I thought, well, what's that? You know, not a big deal at all. And so I knew who I was, and I knew what I was doing, and you know what happened? That guy who picked on me
was one.
Huh?
Was a homosexual.
That's right, he was. He was. And because I asked the other guys in the job, I said, what is a homosexual? You know, what is this here? Well, just ask him. They didn't tell me. And I didn't ask him, of course, because I read about it in the dictionary. And so I knew that that's perfectly okay. Everyone's got their own way of doing things, and they have a perfect right to walk whatever path they want to walk. But it taught me a good lesson. Never let anyone come along and throttle your water, you know, cut you off. Because if you do that, somebody's going to come along and say, I don't like the way you talk. You talk with your hands like a dainty person, you know. You talk with your hands like an Italian, you know. And you're one of those kind of people, you know. Or you talk with your hands, you know, like a, you know. And what have you, like any nationalities that we used to play with. Oh, when we were kids, we used to play with every nationality on the sun. We had them in Milwaukee. And we would have them, and we'd call them by the different names that were given to them. And they were used to being called that way, and they didn't think it was bad. That's just the way it was. And only later did those names take on a bad reference, and then all of a sudden you don't call them anymore, you know. Because during the war we called the Japanese Japs, you know. And that's not a bad thing, and it never was a bad thing, but it's just like saying a Hun, you know, is a German, and a Wop is an Italian, you know, and all these other names, and they don't mean a thing. They could mean something if you give them meaning, but it's the same reason why I whistle. I whistle to be me. Now, I would like you to tell me, in two words or less, what nationality I am.
Universal.
Huh?
Universal.
Well, isn't she smart? Isn't she a smart cookie? That's true, but it does make the conversation short. I am universal, it's true, but I was going to say I am American, but that's not a nationality. That's a mixed group, a mixed bag. and I was raised. My grandparents came from Pomerania, and they probably came from the North Scandinavian the countries, and they came from the Germanic and the French and the Italian. And if you start looking into the Euro mixture, we all are a kettle of fish. And the only reason we call ourselves Italians is because we were born in Italy, and we speak Italian, or we speak German. We speak German, and we were born in Germany, or whatever. And then I get a kick out of the people here in the United States. Ellen turns on her charm, and she's talking with her dialect, and she's talking with such enthusiasm and joy, and they say, where are you from? See, they don't recognize that she was born in Germany, that she was raised in Switzerland, that she was raised in the Italian part of Switzerland, and that she speaks perfect French, and that she is speaks perfect English, and that she speaks perfect Italian, mm-hmm. and she speaks Italian on the phone. She picks up, phone for German, and she everything is perfect. And she speaks up the telephone for English, and she says, by the way, would you speak a little more clearly? This guttural manner in which you're speaking is not very difficult to understand. But you see, she's an international lady. And Sylvia, how many languages do you speak? 2, 4, 8, 10, 1?
No, about
all.
3? 3.
And Ingeborg, how many do you speak? 3?
4.
3. 4.
You speak Italian? You speak German? You speak English?
Yes.
You speak French? What other is there?
Spanish.
Spanish? You speak? No. Okay, so 3 good ones. And you have 4. What's your 4th one?
Swiss, French? Swiss
German. Ah, yeah. Can you speak Switzerland?
I can speak the dialect of the German. No,
Swiss.
Okay. The dialect of the German is a mess.
I speak Ticinese.
Ticinese, that's a combination of German and Italian.
Italian
and
dialect.
Romanish.
Italian dialect.
Romanish. Italian dialect. But you see, all of these things, why does Ellen do this? Why does she whistle? Why does she speak all these dialects? Because she finds it charming. And when I first met Ellen, she proclaimed that she had difficulty with English. And I said, well, that's too bad. So, then she says, I have difficulty translating English into these other languages. And I said, that's too bad. And so interestingly, some of our translators didn't appear at my seminars, and she had to translate for me into Italian, and she had to translate into French, and she had to translate into whatever, German, and she had to and she did such a fascinating job that everybody in the audience was reaching out to help her. And they were reaching out to, you know, to give her the right words. And they were the wrong words. Because Ellen knew what I was trying to say, and they knew what Ellen was saying. But the thing is, why do I whistle? Why does anyone whistle? Why does anyone, is anyone happy? Now, Daniel's learning a new language now. It's called the language of, what do we call it, humor? Or what do we call it?
Comedy.
Comedy, the language of comedy, the language of humor, the language of...
comedy is good.
Comedy, but it's more than that. It's not just comedy. It's
laughter.
Playfulness. The language of playfulness.
Hey, that's nice.
Now, that's what you're learning. And that is such a beautiful language. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it a little bit, and his illustrations of using the language of playfulness were so charming. You know, it was just like whistling. And his language of playfulness was so charming, I thought to myself, my God, if every single songbird doesn't light on his shoulder, I'd be surprised. You know what I mean? Because the language of playfulness is so beguiling. It is so winning. It is so, it's like saying, come on, up me, you know.
Triggers drug release in the brain.
Say it again.
Triggers drugs released in the brain.
Triggers drug released in the brain.
Yeah, but that you like.
Oh, like it's like drugs releasing triggers in your brain. This releases triggers in your brain. No.
When you feel good.
Yeah.
Your brain is releasing something. It's triggering something to be released
within
your body.
Hormones or whatever they call
makes
it.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It triggers that.
And which enables you to be more playful.
No, in response.
Oh, so when you do this and someone hears it, then it triggers that in them.
Right.
But the thing is, when they do it, it triggers it again in you.
Yeah.
So you have a banter going back and forth, which is wonderful. But I love that, and we must write that down, playfulness, because that really is a great term that we should... I got one here now. Yeah, we should constantly remember to use, because that is so great. playfulness is a language that I think we ought to teach. You know, we ought to teach it in our schools and teach it in our university. Now, Ellen, I want you to write an article of 2 to 3 paragraphs defining your version of playfulness and have it ready by supper time. And Ingeborg,
yeah.
I want you to write 2 or 3 paragraphs on what you think playfulness means and have it ready by supper time, okay? And Sylvia, I want you to write 2 or 3 paragraphs of what you think playfulness means and have it ready by supper.
Okay.
And Daniel, I think you should do the same. Write 2 or 3 paragraphs. Now you're going to take a pause. You're going to take a nap in a few minutes. And after, during, or before, or in, write 2 or 3 paragraphs of what playfulness means to you. Because that's why I like to whistle. That's why you like to whistle. That's why you think it's so much fun to be living in your dynamic self. Now, the man who caused me to stop whistling when I was a kid, he taught me a lesson early, not to be intimidated by anybody, whatever they say or do or anything. When I was a kid and I was working on the job, I was skinny and I wore my pants without a belt, which were down, you know, as far down as they could go without being lost. And none of the guys said one single word about it. None of them. And that's the way the kids wear them today. But I was just a little premature. But the thing is, why I whistle? I whistle for fun. Why I wear clothes or don't? I wear them for fun. Why I live? I live to be my playful self. More on that later. Join us as we talk about that. Yes, our next topic is Mr. Candle. My life is the gift I give to the world. And perhaps we might get around to playfulness then or not. Maybe it'll be for the next thought for today where I laugh and my world laughs with me.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, these are all our titles that are coming up. So have a good afternoon. Know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Very good. Come on, once again. Good.